Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Passing Dimes. Really excited for today's guest. He played for the Lakeland Rustlers. He's currently coaching with the Ottawa Mavericks and is our very own volleyball version of the Field of Dreams. He is the designer, the director, the owner of Dead Man's Beach in Ottawa. Please welcome to the show, Derek Deadman. Derek, thanks for doing this, man.
Hey, Josh. Thanks so much for having me. Big fan of the show, so never dreamed I'd be on it one day.
I know. I should have got Garrett on, and we could have bickered about stuff. But anyways, let's set the scene with...
What's going on with Shark Pets? It seems like you're teasing that maybe it's coming back.
You know how it goes. I mean, Garrett's married now and he's got a big boy job, so we'll have to get him back eventually. I'm sure he's got a lot of opinions. He's just so busy.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, let's set the scene with you and your story, and then once Garrett gets wind of this, he can come back and we can get a little back and forth. But yeah, with you being so involved in the community, let's set the scene where it started. Because I think you're a good old Sask boy, and I'm wondering, how did you fall in love with the game of volleyball?
So I first started playing actually in grade 5. I mean, I think like anybody probably started in gym class maybe, but before that. But I made the school team in grade 5. We had a teacher who was a longtime volleyball ref, and I think he had played at some level at some point. He's pretty old and pretty older guy and really passionate guy. So I fell in love with it there. Be honest, you know, for me, my first sport, my main sport was hockey, and like pretty much everybody in Saskatchewan, that's probably the sport up until a certain point I played at the highest level. And volleyball was just it was just a sport that I got to play in school and I loved, there was no club volleyball for us back then for boys. I think they have that now in Regina. That's where I'm born and raised, but played throughout school and I loved it. And every chance I got to play, I loved it. And I still remember, I think it was, grade 5 or 6, the first time you're able to actually hit a ball over the tape. Like it was, it's a pretty darn good feeling. And, it's definitely something I always enjoyed.
And as you went along, that's great that you had a great coach in primary. Did high school kind of offer a good scene? Like for you to be a college level player and not have any club experience, I'm wondering, you must have been in a pretty good school program as well in high school, right?
Not really, to be honest. we had a couple of good players. That guy I went to high school with, he actually went on and played at University of Calgary. And we had a couple of guys that would play on the provincial team. And I don't even know back then if there was really truly a provincial team. I think there was a high school coach who would kind of go around and get the best, most interested players. But I was always too busy with other sports that I never really got to play anything more outside of that. I just played as much as I could in school, but really, hockey kind of took everything, for a certain period of my life. Like it was pretty much hockey. I was that typical kid, Sask kid who lived and dreamed of playing in the NHL, and that was never really a reality. I played at a pretty high level. I got to play AAA, and I was had an opportunity to kind of have a go in the WHL or like get to try out. Never really worked out for me, but it wasn't actually till a little bit later that I kind of got back into playing volleyball and volleyball seriously. And I actually went back kind of as a mature student when I got to go back and play at Lakeland, which was something I really, really enjoyed. Definitely a different journey than the other a lot of other athletes. And like I said, Josh, I'm a big fan of the show, and I was just listening to your interview with Mark Dodds, and I was thinking, here you are having me thinking her conversation about my volleyball career is going to be pretty short compared to somebody like that. And, heck, you've had Todd Rogers on here, and now I'm sharing the microphone with him. But, I definitely can't say I've had the most illustrious career, but I do look back, and I guess for a guy who was more of a multi-sport athlete who really didn't have the opportunity to get a ton of great coaching and to play club volleyball, to have the opportunity to play at the college level was something I am pretty proud of. And I learned a ton. Like I went on kind of as a walk-on, a self-recruit, kind of as a mature student. I had a dream of playing. When I got back into playing, I was fortunate enough in Regina to kind of hook up with a couple of other guys who were pretty passionate players. And we kind of had a bit of a men's club team, I guess you'd almost call it. This was kind of post high school. And, even there's not a lot of great leagues in Regina, but there is a lot of, at least there was a lot of pretty good cash tournaments that would happen throughout the province, Prince Albert, Saskatoon, Moose Jaw, Yorkton. There's a big tournament called Bongo every year. And we would train and play and go compete in those. I remember years ago, Canadian volleyball legend Murray Grappentine, he had moved to Regina and he was playing on a different local team that we used to get to play against a lot all the time. And used to get to watch him hit over top me all the time as well. So it's a lot of fun. But in my kind of early 20s, I, you know, was in a different place in my career. I kind of wanted to go back to school and get a degree. And, you know, I found Lakeland. They had a degree program actually that I was interested in. And I remember contacting the coach and sent him some video of me playing in men's tournaments, which he quickly dismissed, but extended an invite to come down and kind of work out with him and a couple other guys that were looking at going to play. And I was, you know, he brought me on. I think he brought me on more because I was a mature student and I know he had some issues with kids, you know, flunking out academic and eligibility. And I think he was looking for a mature, kind of hardworking guy to come in and help stabilize the program. I was never really an all-star or anything, I'd say, but, you know, I did see the court and had an impact in the program, I hope.
Well, this is awesome, man. Yeah, I thank you for sharing some of the other guests we've had on the show. I like to think we focus on storytelling and people that contribute to our community, and you're definitely right up there. So thank you. Yeah, we don't all have to be all Canadians, because certainly I was never at that level either. But I am curious, because you mentioned you played hockey at a high level, where when Dustin Reed was the technical director of the OVA, I remember taking a coaching course, and he told us a fun fact that more boys were quitting hockey at the age of 16 than were playing volleyball, which is impressive. But when you think of the volume of hockey players, it makes sense, right? So, but I am curious, with you playing at such a high level and playing an invasion sport that involves collision, what made volleyball so appealing? Because you mentioned in grade school there, by the time like your skills get good enough, volleyball can be really fun, but there is like a delayed response there, or it's not that appealing to young males. So I am curious, with you being a hockey guy, when you finally picked another full-time sport, why did you land on volleyball instead of maybe basketball, soccer, lacrosse, like the other options available, right?
You know, I guess to rewind a bit, like I did play almost every sport. It feels like I was an undiagnosed ADHD kid growing up. I didn't get diagnosed and put on medication until my kind of late teens. So my parents dealt with that by enrolling me in every kind of sport possible. So I played lacrosse and football and baseball and everything, and always at a fairly high level. But I honestly don't even know what it is with volleyball. And I, you know, I've met so many people who have played at the highest level or played their whole lives or, you know, adults who, you know, I've coached even with, and adults who've kind of come to the sport a little bit later in life. And they, you know, people who kind of get to play fall in love with the sport. And I wish I could kind of pinpoint what it was, but I do remember, in grade school, I remember all throughout, I just remember loving playing volleyball. I remember just loving jumping and hitting the ball as hard as you can. Like there's something about it. And then, you know, going to college and playing and never really playing it or being coached kind of tactically, kind of really starting there. Like that's where my kind of journey, where I really kind of fell in love with the game. We had a really good coach there in Paul Armbruster, who I think was he coached Alberta at the NTCCs, and, you know, he played at a high level. He played professionally in Europe. He played at UFC. And so I really, you know, I think a lot of athletes go to college kind of already knowing the game really well. And I went to college just as a good athlete who, you know, liked to swing at balls. And so that's really where I kind of started learning really the technical, tactical side of it. You know, first time ever really playing a tempo offense and that kind of stuff. Ever since then, my whole life, it feels like kind of, you know, outside of my actual career and my wife and my kids, like it all kind of revolves around the sport. Like, I just love it. I just love everything about it. And I'd say I'm a volleyball athlete, but I'm an absolute fan of the sport too. And like I said, you know, so I don't know. I don't know if that even really answers your question, Josh, but it's just something about the game. Like, it's just such a fast paced, you know, high flying athletic game. I mean, I love everything about it.
And with you jumping into Lakeland, like you mentioned, you've been across the net. Like, it's great that Murray would play at a men's league level, and you've seen some other top tier players. But I'm curious, when you were in the ACAC, was that when either Red Deal or was Mount Royal still in the division? Like, were there some top level teams that you guys would have to play in your own division?
Oh yeah, so it was right around the time. So Mount Royal was the was the wagon of the team, especially then. They were still in the ACAC. So I actually played against Josh Blankenau as a setter. So when I was there, we had made, you know, Lakeland's a small school, good program. They've really improved now. Like the ladies program now, as you know, I know you had a couple of Lakeland girls on, like they just won another national championship. Like for the, for as small of a school and program as they are, it's just amazing what they've been able to accomplish. But when I was there, we had made the ACAC provincials for the first time in like a decade. And of course, coming in as the last seed, we drew the first seed, which was Mount Royal. So it was, Jay Blankenau was their setter, and I think Jason Duraco, you know, another national team, longtime national team guy, he was their left side. They had a right side there by the name of Alan Meek, who had gone on to play at UFC. I don't know if he kind of followed on from that, but that guy could just blast a ball. Like we, you know, so it was good. It was a very high level. I know, the ACAC was quite strong then. Like, you know, SAIT had a great program. Mount Royal, Grant McEwen was still in the ACAC back then. Red Deer was perennial. Like, they were a strong team as always. So it was a very high-level ball, and it was a little bit eye-opening for me. Like, I want to say, as a athletic guy, as a very competitive person, I kind of went in thinking, like, you know, this is college volleyball. Like, I'm a good athlete. I'll be able to hang out. And I remember my first year there, it was pretty eye-opening. A lot of the guys I was playing with, everybody had played club their whole career, and most of the guys were from Alberta. Alberta is a big volleyball province, or Manitoba, and here I am, just, you know, school athlete, it was a big learning curve for me. And then especially when we got into the kind of heavier competition with some of the real top schools there.
And just to follow your journey along, you end up in Ottawa and you build one of the best beach courts known to anyone who's ever seen it. But where did the love for beach volleyball start? Like, for you to put a court in your backyard, I imagine you must have loved it. So was there a moment that you thought, man, this beach game's awesome, and if I ever get a backyard, I'm going to do this?
Yeah, good question. I played, you know, even before moving to Ottawa, like started playing beach volleyball. You know, it's just, again, I played as much as I could. And I remember when you know, there was a few beach courts in Regina, but it was mostly like 4-on-4, 6-on-6 kind of thing. But the SAS Volleyball Association built some courts at the U of R and started running like twos leagues. And so I started playing twos. Like, this would have been in early 2000s, I guess. And I loved it because I started really enjoying it then. And I always thought, you know, if I ever had the ability, I remember it was back then, even as early as then, that I remember really dreaming of having a beach volleyball court in my backyard. And so it was kind of a lifelong dream. And you know, not everybody can have the kind of property that you need to be able to do that or the funds to do it. And we moved to Ottawa about 13 years ago. Amazing volleyball community here. You know, I played a lot of indoor here. You've had a couple kind of prominent Ottawa guests on your podcast too, like the Alex O'Needs and of the world. And so I played a lot of indoor. I play beach. We have a very good beach community here. Played a lot of beach, but always wanted a beach court. And I always said to myself, if I could ever afford, you know, or get to a property where I could have a beach court in my backyard, I'd love to do it. And just kind of so happened, it was 2018. We bought a home just kind of in the Kanata area, like just on the outskirts of Ottawa, and I'm on 2.5 acres. And that was honestly, God bless my wife, who knew exactly what my plan was and was totally okay with moving to a place that I know that we'd have a beach court. And you know, I built it purely for selfish reasons. Yeah, I have young kids and I wanted to play as much beach volleyball as I could. And I figured if I had a court in my backyard where people could come to me, I would be able to play a lot more. And so it was moved in early 2019, and it was actually 2020. Like, it was April 2020 when we built it. So like right in the heart of COVID, like it was kind of the best and the worst time, I guess, actually, to build a beach volleyball court. And I actually remember the contractor, the guy that helped me build it, he's like, okay, if anybody asks, you're having drainage issues in your backyard, and that's what we're actually working on, because it was, you know, they weren't supposed to be actually doing it. It was supposed to be like essential work only, but he came out and we had the court built. And so, yeah, and it's just kind of grown from there. But I mean, you know, for anybody who's heard of the court, I'm sure most of your guests probably haven't, other than the bickering back and forth with me and Garrett on passing dimes chat comments, or even with some of the guests that you've had on that have been on at the court. But yeah, so it all started in COVID, and it all started was just kind of a dream to have a court, and then a very nice wife who was happy to let me put in 330 tons of sand in my backyard.
Yeah, just for the listeners, because we have had a few, but just expand on the community in Ottawa. And what I mean by that is Dallas, who I actually started the show with a long time ago. Dallas got to be a sub one night in the men's league in Ottawa. And he's like, I didn't know what to expect, but I show up. And our buddy James Battiston invited him. And he's like, Nathan Chiron was on our team. I played with Batty. I was across the net from like Chris Back and Bruno and all these other guys. He's like, I'm looking around the gym. And I was like, everybody here played college, university, or was a really good club player. And he's like, what's the deal? Like, everyone in Ottawa doesn't quit. They just keep playing volleyball.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, that's the OCVL, which is, you know, I'm assuming got to be one of the top, you know, leagues for adults in the country, I would assume, because, you know, you get to the top tiers, even on the women's side. I mean, you have ex-national team athletes still playing, and it's amazing. Like, you know, the top two teams right now, or top three teams. Yeah. Like that's Dallas, and Team Dallas is playing on with Batty. Like, yeah, they're a bunch of Nipissing guys like Warren Taylor and like they're unreal. And then you have Bruno Lordi's team, who's got another bunch of, that's Chris Back setting for them, and they're unreal. And then you have kind of perennial, like they have the dad bods, who's, you know, Ryan De Bruyn and like they're a bunch of ex university guys that are just unreal. Like it's crazy, the level. Like it's amazing. Like I didn't know what to expect when I moved to Ottawa, but the volleyball community is just unreal. Like just the level, the amount of people that still play as adults, and the level, like the highest level. And even on the beach, you know, our beach leagues here, like Max Volley, like the tournaments that are run, like it's pretty solid still. Like the top tiers of Max Volley, it's pretty high level volleyball actually that's going on, which is really neat, really fortunate. So for adults like us that want to still pretend that we're competitive, like it's really neat to be able to have that opportunity.
And then with your court, and you've mentioned how understanding and patient your amazing wife is, that just from people on the show, like it sounds like if Alex O'Neill ever has an afternoon off or an evening, it's not unusual for him to be like, hey, how many guys do we have? Like it just seems like there is a game going on all the time if you guys can make your work schedules work. But how did you find such a rotation of guys who have, well, flexible work hours, but just the bug, they're kind of like, you know what, I can make this sales call in the car and then I can go to Derek's and I can play like a couple sets here. Like what is it with just so many guys in Ottawa that you can always find a group of four to get out there?
Well, I think it's a couple things. For one, I think it's just having a lot of passionate players. And then number two, when I built the court, like that was kind of my thing was, you know, there's a lot of places to play here, but we don't have an Ashbridges, right? Like we don't really have a lot of quality courts. Like we have a lot of courts, but not a lot of quality. So I thought, you know, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. So I did. I kind of designed it and built it in a way that it's, you know, I'd say professional quality. Like it's quality sand, it's proper depth. Like I've got about 2 feet deep of sand. I've got proper drainage built underneath. It's, you know, enough room to serve, and I've got netting all around. And I also have a nice pool and a pool house with a beer fridge too. So that also helps for guys who want to come play. But when I built it, Josh, like I thought, you know, I'd be lucky if once a week or maybe even a couple times a month, the guys would get together and we'd play and we'd have a barbecue. And I think timing, you know, with COVID too, kind of actually kind of sparked things, because at that time, there's really nowhere else to play. So all the public beaches here were shut down. All the leagues were shut down. And here I go and I build this court. And I, you know, I've been involved in the volleyball community, you know, and a few, there's just a few of the real kind of passionate players who wanted to play would come out. You know, Ryan De Bruyn, who I had met and just started, you know, we kind of become friends. I don't know if you know Ryan, he played at University of Winnipeg.
He was with the Beach National team for a couple seasons. Him and I didn't overlap, but I was working at the OVA when he made a run at it. I think he had a pretty gnarly injury there 1 year at Nationals. But yeah, a great athlete, heck of a university career. So good that he's still competing in the area.
Yeah, so like him and I had become friends, and we had actually, before the court was built, he asked me to partner with him to play in the Max League, right? And so we And then I built a court. And so we were training at my house, and he's really well connected with kind of the higher level beach players, because he's an Ottawa guy and he's really connected. So he would invite so-and-so and so, like, you know, and it would just be people would come out and play, and just the vibes were right, I guess. And the level of volleyball was really good. And it just, and honestly, in COVID, I bet you I was playing 6-7 days a week. because I would have the core group of guys, like the high level guys. And then there was other people, and I was, it was almost a full-time job of people messaging me, hey, can I complain? Do you have enough? And so it was pretty cool. Like it really kind of sparked things. And I thought, you know, I didn't know the next summer if it was going to kind of, if it was going to stay, it was going to be intense, but it really was. Like the community just kind of continued to grow, and it, instead of, you know, playing less, it was just the amount of guys and, you know, even girls who would want to come out and play and train and stuff. It just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and more people would kind of hear about it and want to be involved and want to come play and train. And it's amazing how it grew. Like it grew from just wanting to have a court in my backyard to just, you know, having the, you know, some of the best players in the city and ex-national team guys and everything come out and train and play. And then we started running some tournaments and King of the Beach tournaments. And, you know, we always ended up barbecuing after and hanging out in the pool. So, you know, it was always a lot of fun and unreal how it kind of grew from there.
For sure. Because I think it's a great community of people who love volleyball. Obviously your kids are getting use out of it, so there's a youth mm-hmm. component, but I might also owe you a finder's fee eventually, because my understanding is when I tried to scoop up Jordan Canham from Beach, he got a few reps from you a little bit playing at the court, and then Eric Gerard, friend of the show, I think he played a lot of hours before coming to the national team. So it's not just past national team guys, you're kind of a feeder system there too. So how has that kind of helped the community as well, where, and even Bruno, our favorite African player, trains at Edmonton Beach a lot. So how is that community kind of supported, where you have guys who are have goals of playing at the highest level currently, and then you've got guys who have day jobs and real commitments and families, and they're all playing on the same court and everybody's getting better and pushing each other?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just it, right? Like that's just the cool thing about it. And yeah, you mentioned Jordan. You know, he's from kind of near Cornwall, and one of the Chris LaRue, who's a great player, happens to be a teacher, so has the summers off. So he spends a lot of time out at our place. You know, he had invited Jordan out, so Jordan had come out, and because yeah, he was coming to train with you guys, wanted to get some reps. And my partner Ryan was injured at the time, so actually I was the benefactor of getting to play a lot of reps with Jordan. And that guy, what an athlete! I've got netting all the way around my court, and I always joke, like, he's one of the guys that makes me wish I had higher netting, because he could, you know, he could just bounce a ball. But, because the level can vary, and, you know, it's not always national team guys that want to come out and play. So sometimes it is a bit tricky kind of managing who's coming out and when and that kind of stuff. But, because of kind of the community feel, like that's how it's kind of grown into something really neat with, you know, supporting guys like Jordan or Eric. Like, you know, Eric's story, I think, is pretty cool. Like he, you know, obviously unreal athlete, you know, had a great indoor career, and he kind of really, you know, I don't think he'd ever really played a lot of beach or really trained a lot of beach. And, you know, it was kind of, he was part of the crew. Like I played indoor with him and before, and you know, we'd become friends, but he started coming out and playing more beach, and I think he kind of rekindled a bit of his passion for beach volleyball playing with us and being able to play with some of the better players in the city. And you know, and he you know, I think it was after he won the second or third annual Dead Man's Beach King of the Beach tournament and won the coveted tank top, that you know, you'd kind of reached out to me and said, hey, like, I think Eric would be you know, be looking to come out to the national team. So yeah, like I think it was cool for him. I think really he's when he kind of rekindled his passion for not just volleyball, but kind of found his passion for beach volleyball and beach volleyball, that is. And then it's been neat. Like again, all that stuff's kind of beyond my wildest dreams. Like when, again, I just wanted a court that I could play in, and and all this stuff has happened. And then, you know, you mentioned Bruno, and you know, I think his story is pretty incredible as well, actually. So
amazing. So yeah, to follow it along. So you're putting so much into volleyball, and your kids catch the bug, and they're playing club level, and they're playing with the Ottawa Mavericks. And then did they approach you because they're always looking for coaches, or did you throw your name in the hat? Like, how did you end up not coaching one team but two teams this year with the Mavs?
Yeah, so I started. So it was actually the same year Built the Court. It was the COVID year. So my kids had started. Like, they kind of grew up because I was always playing in tournaments. My wife played too. So sometimes we'd be playing in co-ed tournaments. So they kind of grew up in the gym watching us play or watching me play. And so they'd always been around volleyball. And it was the COVID year, actually, I think. So it was my daughter, my oldest daughter. It was a 13 new year. I had a friend that I played with who was coaching the Mavericks team that year, and he just messaged me. He's like, hey, you know, nobody's trying out. We don't have many athletes because it's COVID. We don't even know if we're going to really be running things. So I guess this would have been 2020, end of 2020. I can't remember my timelines here, but, you know, he's like, and he knew Alana, you know, was the same age as his daughter, and he was coaching his daughter's team. And he's like, hey, like, would Alana want to come join the team? I could use some help coaching. I always thought that one day I would coach. Like, I enjoyed coaching. I coached some hockey when I was younger too, like after I'd played on the provincial program. And I thought that, you know, it'd be pretty good, you know, but I thought maybe I'll coach when I'm unable to play. But yeah, I just kind of through chance, like, you know, my daughter decided she wanted to play, and then I coached, and it, you know, how things go. I figured if my daughter's going to be playing club, I might as well coach. Like, it's better to coach than kind of drive her and drop her off at the gym. But I actually really caught the bug. Like, I really enjoyed coaching, and, you know, so now I think this is my fourth year coaching, and I've kind of found a bit of a passion for that as well. I guess I just love everything about the sport and the chance to, not only just coach my kids, which is pretty cool, but it's kind of beyond that. Like, I definitely see myself coaching continually. Like, once their careers are done, I absolutely plan. Like, I've done, I just finished my level 2 or advanced dev coaching, you know, NCCP coaching course or whatever. And, you know, and now just with my passion for beach too, and I think for a need for beach coaches in Ottawa, there's not a ton of real true beach training and coaching for youth. So that's kind of my next big thing is, you know, so maybe I'll be hitting you up, Josh, for a lot of drill advice and, you know, how to be a better beach coach too. But
absolutely. And what can you tell us about the Ottawa Mavericks? Because obviously Dallas, again, one of my close friends, is coaching there. And Frank St. Denis, I've stolen so much from him over the years, and Carrie McLean. And I think you're actually coaching with John Nguyen this year. Yeah. So well-organized club. They understand high performance. They understand athletes who just want to compete. I think they have a great house league as well. Like, they just understand volleyball. But from a coaching perspective, give us a little behind the scenes about how do they make you guys comfortable, and they make sure that you're getting not only your certification, but you're getting confidence, you're getting reps, and they're kind of like upscaling coaches as well too, right? So just give us your perspective of, like, when you join the club, just how, I won't say easy because coaching isn't easy, but how inclusive and beneficial they are to coaches as well, not just the players.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Just for clarification too, so I actually do coach both with Fusion and Mavericks. So I coach 16U with Mavericks. And so I don't want to leave out Fusion because they're a smaller club, obviously, than Mavs, but you know, they do a great job too. So my youngest is on, she's on her second, she's just turned 12, but she's on her second year with the 13U team there. So I coach with that group as well. And, we're West End, and Fusion is a bit more West End, so it's a bit more travel friendly for us, especially at the younger age, but they do a great job as well. But yeah, I know most of my experience is with Maverick, and they're, it's an excellent, excellent club. They're, you know, quite large. And I think just with that size and that experience, and I think the biggest thing for kind of a newer and up and coming coach, for me, like, every coach I've worked with since I've been there has been very, very experienced. Like, I mean, you mentioned John, so I'm coaching with John Nguyen this year. And I mean, I think he's in his 23rd or 24th year coaching with Mavs. He just coached with the U17 national team that was in Honduras that got the bid for the world championships. Like, he's coached with Team Ontario. He's doing the Canada Summer Games indoor program. Like, he's extremely, extremely experienced and knowledgeable. And you know, I think that's, the club does a very good job that way of pairing up new coaches with kind of mentor coaches. And, you know, I coached, you know, and then Frank St. Denis, he was my evaluator for both my development certification and my advanced DELP. And I've learned just an incredible amount from him. Like he's an unreal, resource. And so I think that's what, like, I think Maverick does a, like, they just do a very, I think it's just comes with size and experience. And, I mean, geez, I think this year they had almost 900 athletes try out for programs, you know, between boys and girls. So it's, I guess with that size and experience, they just have the resources and the ability to kind of help young coaches. Not that I'm young, but I'm young as a coach.
Yeah, glad you mentioned Ottawa Fusion there as well. Thank you. Hopefully, if we talk nicely about them, Jay Mooney will finally come on the show because I've been chasing that guy for years. But I guess when you're in the gym, when you're in the gym every night, it's hard to make time for a podcast. But I think what makes Ottawa pretty special, you mentioned, like, or we mentioned, excuse me, the adult involvement and how everyone keeps playing. But when I worked at the OVA, I always thought Region 6 was super functional in terms of if you needed them to run an event or their regional program, it didn't matter what club you were affiliated with. And I would even include like Kingston and the other communities, that everybody would come together and work really hard and have a common goal. And I think that just speaks to the people involved that as soon as club season ends, it didn't matter if you were a Maverick kid or a Fusion kid, like they all go play at Max Volley and they all figure it out. And, you know, it's just a really good scene in Ottawa. And there's a ton of kids playing volleyball.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's so true. It's so true. Like it's a real good community to be part of. I'm very fortunate. And, you know, both my kids playing, and one with Mavs and one with Fusion, like they've had excellent experiences and excellent coaching, and, you know, really enjoyed the competition. And it's pretty high level still, which is great. Like we still are able to compete, you know, fairly well with the big Toronto teams.
Nice. And just to follow your journey along one more step, big news this summer, you mentioned you're going to run a beach club. So I am curious. I think it's a great idea. And obviously you're involved in the community, but I'm pretty sure you could have just had your kids bring over friends and you could have coached beach volleyball that way. So why did you make a choice to formalize it, run a club and kind of open it up? Because now I think court time, you guys are going to have a pretty strong schedule because you're going to have kids taking over that court pretty quickly, right?
I know. There's going to be tons and tons of use on it for sure. So like the big thing is that, so actually coming up pretty soon here, soon as it's dry enough to bring the truck in, we're actually building a second court. So that'll help out. And, you know, again, thanks to my extremely gracious wife for allowing another court to come up. I mean, she's getting pretty used to having people over, but, yeah, I mean, it was a few things. Like I coached beach for the last two summers with Fusion. It's got a, you know, they've got a good beach program and but I still think that, when it comes to youth programming, for beach, like it's just not quite at the same level as somewhere as like Toronto. And I would experience that with both, you know, even both my daughters and other teams that I coached where, you know, they would compete fairly well, or we'd have teams that would kind of do very, very well here. And then we go to Toronto for provincials and just, you could tell kind of the level was a whole different thing there. And so it's really just about trying to do something, you know, a little more true to beach and a little more beach focused. Cause I still think, and, you know, again, both Mavs and Fusion are amazing clubs and doing a really good job, and they have the ability to kind of do much more volume than I'll be able to do or that I'm looking to do. But I still think they are mostly indoor focused. Like I don't think there's much going on purely with a true beach focus, with a kind of true, you know, focus of trying to develop kind of the next generation of real true beach players. And so I felt like there was a bit of a need. That's part of it. And I mean, you know, it's just something I enjoy to do. And again, it's a little bit easier to do if it's in my backyard as well. And, you know, and then I think a big part of it too is just, you know, we talked about, you mentioned Bruno, our favorite Cameroonian, you know, who, you know, thank you again for allowing to come spend some time with you there in Toronto. But, you know, he's been a big inspiration to me too. And an inspiration of trying to actually kind of take Dead Man's Beach from more of just a community and a backyard court to a place that can hopefully kind of inspire the beach community even more and grow the beach game even more in the city and kind of beyond. And you know, getting to know Bruno and work with him and kind of see part of his journey and find ways to support him's kind of inspired me to, expand Dead Man's Beach. Like we've started actually selling apparel, and we plan on running a lot of beach clinics, and with the beach team, and everything that's going to be done, like all the proceeds from the beach clinics, all the proceeds from the beach club, everything's going to go back to beach athletes that we support, including Bruno. And I give it, we sponsor Eric Gerard as well. So that's kind of a big part of it too. I feel like we've been blessed with this kind of cool beach community and trying to use it to do good if we can. Maybe it's a good time to talk about Bruno. I know we've been.
you and I know the behind the scenes better than most, but just for our listeners being like, you guys mean Bruno Lordi? No, we mean a different Bruno. I would love to talk to Bruno Lordi as well. But so Bruno is a resident of Canada right now. He lives in Canada and works in Canada, but he's one of the best players in Cameroon and has a better than average chance. Like, he's going to go to the continental qualification for Africa and hopefully get a chance at the Paris Olympics. But for now, he's in the Ottawa area, and the best place to train in Ottawa is at your place. But how did you guys break the ice or meet each other, or how did this connection start? Because once you meet the guy, you just realize he's got a heart of gold and you want to work with him and you want to support him. But I'm wondering, how did he make the first move? Because it is a little random how it all came together, right?
It's pretty funny, actually. Yeah. Like, he had moved. I mean, his story is, he had moved to Ottawa because his partner, like his Cameroonian beach national team partner, actually lives in Maryland. And, I don't think he was he was training in Cameroon and his partner was training in Maryland. And I think Ottawa was essentially the closest he could get. It was hard. They had done a couple FIVB tournaments. Like, they would meet sometimes in Cameroon to train, and I think they played a tournament in Italy, and it just really wasn't working. So he was trying to get to North America, somewhere closer to his partner, and he knew somebody here that was willing to kind of bring him in. He didn't even know if there's a beach volleyball scene in Ottawa. He didn't even know if anybody even played here, but it was driving distance sort of to Maryland. So he just ended up here, and I think the first thing he did when he landed in Ottawa was, I think it would have been like August-ish last summer, and he started heading to Mooney's Bay and Britannia Beach, like trying to find beach volleyball and beach volleyball players. And I think he said that, I think within a day or two of him being here, someone was like, hey, well, if you're looking to train, there's this dude has backyard court somewhere in Canada. Like, you got to find that. That's where all the good people play. And so, it was one day, like I was at home, and there was a tournament going on at Max Volley, and I wasn't able to play in it. But a couple of the guys, like the train, like Ryan and Ben, another great athlete who trains with a lot, who's actually just at the house playing with me today, I get a text from both of them, and they're like, "Hey, there's this guy here from Cameroon. He's apparently part of the Cameroon national team. He just moved to Ottawa. He's been here for a couple of weeks. He's training for Halifax, for the Futures event in Halifax. And he heard about your court. Can we give him your number?" And I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely." And, I get this text. It's like, "Hi, my name's Bruno," and blah, 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 blah. And I think, like, literally I was like, "Okay, yeah, I've got guys coming out tomorrow to play. Like, come join us." And he just showed up. He just showed up and comes out with this big Bruno smile. And the rest is kind of history. And like you said, you get to know him and chat with him and know his history and kind of know everything he's kind of done and sacrificed to get where he is. It was pretty easy to get behind him. So he was out, training every day he could. Like, he would come out if the guys were out and we were able to train with him, we would. If not, he would come out and he'd be out there for 4 hours just setting balls by himself. Like, it was, and again, you'll have to get him on and he'll be able to tell his story a lot better than I can. But, it's just pretty inspiring. And it was actually kind of him and working with him that kind of really inspired me to maybe say, hey, well, I've been given this amazing beach community here with Dead Man's Beach. Maybe I can expand it. Maybe I can, use it to help build funds. Cause I know, Josh, you would know as part of, for our beach national athletes, like, it's not a rich person's sport. Well, I mean, maybe you need to be a rich person to try to make a go out of it. Right. But like, I know athletes might say that they don't get as much financial support as they could. Like, if you can imagine being from the Cameroon national team, support is a lot less. So, being able to kind of help him follow his dreams. And you're right. Like, he's got a legitimate shot. Like, there, you know, him and his partner, they're a pretty strong team, and you know, they're going to be in Casablanca, and I think it's July for the African Continental Qualifier. And, you know, so we're doing everything we can. He's out here all the time. I have a pretty nice gym in the basement, so he'll come out and train and hit the weights as often as he can. And yeah, so it's a pretty cool story. And I'm glad you've got to meet him, because he's an incredible athlete. He's an incredible inspiration as well, I think.
For sure. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And yeah, just for context for our listeners, it's like tennis and golf, beach volleyball being a tournament based sport, you basically achieve your income based on your results. So the better you do, obviously, the more money you make. And I think there was an era, well, I know there was an era that people would say, oh, let's just get sponsors. But the level of sponsorship has gotten so sophisticated and so connected that they can actually like measure like how much value somebody brings to a brand. So I would challenge anyone to start emailing companies and asking for money and seeing what they want in return, if you even get an answer. So to say that that's a level of income is a little disappointing. Yeah. So in Canada, we have carding, which basically will pay for the athlete's rent, essentially. Like, it's not a big chunk of money. So yeah, to find the resources to travel and go compete. And the other thing that really works against us is when you're a young athlete starting on tour, you have 0 points, which means you're playing at the lowest level of tournaments. So you can imagine the prize money is not that great, right? So it is a challenging thing to get into and climb the ladder and kind of survive in the environment. So I don't have the solution, but I am thankful for people like you in the community where, yeah, if you could give us the details here. Not only can they wear cool gear, and you guys have gotten some support from Canuck stuff and kind of the production area, but you can wear some pretty cool beach volleyball gear and support some people. So where can you buy your Dead Man's Beach gear right now?
Yeah, so actually, like so we have a website now, so it's deadmansbeach.com, and that's deadmans.com, and got an online store there, and so we've got a little something for everybody. And I'll think, you know, and the story with the gear is kind of cool too, because you know, when I first built the court, like, I never thought I was going to name it. And someone's like, well, you have to name your court. And I'm like, well, what do you name a court? And they're like, well, and you know, your name's Deadman, so name it Deadman's Beach. So we did. And then, you know, I had started years ago making volleyball jerseys in my basement, because I got sick. I played so much volleyball and so many different teams. I got sick of buying jerseys for every team I was on. You know, you get $60 for a dry fit shirt with a number on it. And I figured there had to be a better way. So I just went out and bought a press and a you know, vinyl cutter. And I was like, I can do this myself. And so I had been making volleyball jerseys for years. So when I built the court, I kind of made this, you know, kind of basically stole a design off the internet and made it my own and threw Dead Man's Beach on it. And that's, you know, I started making tank tops. And the rule is that, you know, every time a new player would come out and play, I would give him a tank top. And that was just kind of the fun thing. And it got to the point where, you know, there was, you know, dozens, 20, 30 people out there. And you know, and so I thought, you know, and that's when I thought it'd be kind of cool to maybe use that, because there is some gear out there. So I kind of had to, you know, up the game. Now it's not, you know, it's not just something quick made in my basement. Like, I've kind of had some help and some design work getting some cool gear out, and everything from hats to hoodies to shirts. And I did partner with Overkill to bring some special Cameroon edition Dead Man's Beach shorts, which is kind of neat too. And so yeah, 100% of the profit, like the profits of everything we do, is going back to sponsoring the athletes. And Cameroon, so Bruno is kind of the main benefactor of that right now. They've got some big travel coming up, so we're really trying to get some support there for that. And yeah. So it's been pretty cool. It's been pretty amazing support so far, actually. I've been pretty overwhelmed, actually, by all the support.
Amazing. I mean, I didn't know you had to go to the court to get a shirt, because Johnny Pickett wore a jersey in practice the other day. Does that mean Pickett has seen the Field of Dreams?
No, he hasn't. But I did play, like, so he was, so I met Johnny, was it last summer or the summer before? I can't even remember. But he would come down for, he was down for VNL. And a friend of mine that I play volleyball with, Arzan, he had met Johnny's parents at VNL, and they had met, and then so kind of they had met Johnny, and then Arzan had connected me with Johnny, because, you know, the eight by eight beach story is pretty cool. Like, it's something that resonates with me. Like, I think it's very kind of a similar type story. And so yeah, like, Johnny and his brother were down, and we one day playing one Saturday. We kind of organized, but there was too big of a group to come to my place. So we actually went to Max Volley and just used the courts there and played. And yeah, I got blocked by Johnny about 75 times.
We've all been there.
But yeah, so we just want like, so I gave him and his brother both a tank, and he gave me an 8-bay each shirt actually. And just remember, like, you can pinpoint this point, because that 8x8 beach shirt is going to come up in my funny story that I'll tell you when we end the podcast too, because I know you always ask for a funny story. So that 8x8 short shirt that Johnny gave me is going to be a central figure in that story.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, let take it away from there. Yeah, so you obviously, being a friend of the show, you're aware that we love a good random story from volleyball players, because it's such a great sport, but we run into so many unique or odd situations. So yeah, tee me up, hit me with your story for your unique experience with 8x8 here.
Yeah, so like I said, yeah, I met Johnny, great guy. And I got, you know, just side note too, it was kind of cool to watch him and Stevie there on your Norseca trials. They did, nice to see them come on top, and, you know, amazing athletes. Nice to see the big, bright future, I think, for our sport. And all those athletes are pretty unreal. Actually got to see a lot of them in Halifax, and, you know, it's pretty cool. But yeah, actually, so the story kind of is in Halifax. So I had, you know, I'm a player, but I'm a fan too. And so I was actually booked, my family, we were going to Halifax to see the Futures. Like, you know, there's not a lot of opportunities to watch, you know, international level volleyball in Canada. And it's been pretty cool with the Elite 16 in Montreal, which I went to and was unreal. And then we enjoyed that so much that we booked a trip, like my wife and both my kids, to Halifax. And this was before I had met Bruno. This was before Bruno was in town. I had that trip booked and beforehand, and then, you know, we meet Bruno, and Bruno's going, and I'm like, you know, this is really cool. Like, Bruno's going to be there. Now we're going to be there. Like, and so, you know, Bruno and Obi, his partner Obi, they weren't traveling with coach. They didn't have a coach. They didn't want to help. And so he's like, well, do you want to be our coach, you know, in quotation marks, and, you know, just help toss balls and help get us warmed up before the games and stuff. And I was like, absolutely, I'd love to. And so Bruno and Obi were in the main draw at in Halifax, and their first game was against Jake McNeil and Russ. And so, you know, I'm on the court warming them up, and I'm a big fan of Jake and Russ. I mean, I you know, cheer them on and stuff, being Canadian and good athletes. But I'm just on the court minding my business, like serving balls at Jake, and I'm wearing the 8x8 beach shirt that Johnny had given me, right? And, you know, I was actually just nervous because, you know, it's center court. Not that there's, you know, millions of fans there, but I'm like, just don't serve it into the net, or I'm just trying not to do something stupid. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jake comes by me and he just starts ripping into me about wearing this 8x8 beach shirt. And he's like, well, I don't think Johnny would want to see his 8x8 shirt, you know, a lot of team playing against Canada. And he's just starts, I don't remember what he was saying, but he was just like, and I know he's a, you know, I know he's a talker on the court, and I think that's a cool part of his game, but he was just ripping into me. And I'm like, I didn't even know what to say, but I just thought it was kind of funny that he was giving me the gears over it. And I'm like, well, I don't know, like, Johnny gave me the shirt himself. Like, I don't need to tell me I wasn't allowed to wear it wherever I didn't want to. But so I just thought that was pretty funny that he was giving me a hard time about it. I actually texted Johnny after and was like, yeah, your buddy Jake didn't like me wearing this, so if you hear about it later. But you know, so Jake, if you're listening, Johnny was cool with it. That much.
Yeah, I can totally picture Jake with that, because like you, he has the hockey background, and I think hockey has a very strong allegiance to it, right? Where you
I think so, yeah. Well, it was funny too, because then we're, you know, like, so you weren't in Halifax, Josh. Eh?
No, I missed it this year. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was pretty, it was cool. And like, we had seats, like we were right behind the court. Like, and it, I mean, you could reach out and touch the player that was serving, and you know, I am Team Canada all the way, but when, you know, when my Cameroon guys are playing Canada, like I'm, you know, I was cheering for Bruno and Obi, no problem. But, yeah, even kind of during the game, Jake was kind of giving it to me during the game too. So it was we had a good little thing. I mean, he probably wouldn't even remember it. He's played in so many different tournaments and events and stuff. But yeah, I'll always remember it.
Yeah, he loves, he's one of the rare guys that I've actually met who can focus and do external stuff like that. So I'm sorry you were on the other end of it, but what you're saying doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, no, I know. From what I know of him, I love it. I'm okay with anybody who plays a bit of an edge. I think that's pretty cool. I think this word could maybe even use a bit more of that sometimes. So no, it's good. That's had for a good sure. time with it for sure.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, my friend. I think it's a little overdue here, but with you coaching Mavs, I found out you're coaching Fusion. You're an unofficial coach of Cameroon. You got a beach club starting, and you're going to be around Team Ontario Beach this summer as well. So yeah. You're going to be everywhere. So hopefully people listening to the show can track you down and just talk your ear off, because you definitely have a passion for volleyball, and I think it's contagious, and we definitely need more people like you in our sport. But thank you for everything you've done for our sport so far, and we'll continue to do, and thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much. Like I really enjoyed it, and appreciate it. Yeah, so thank you so much.